Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. You are on the Healing Hour, and I am your host, Minister Arthur Burgess III, and this is the PKN Network, and we are giving you greetings from blogtalkradio.com, and if you are listening, call in 319-527-6091. That's 319-527-6091. But guess what? If you can't get in contact with that number, if you can't reach us through that number, you can also call 323-870-4174. I'm going to say that one more time. That is 323-870-4174. Amen. Just give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. We'd like to just chat with you, see how you're doing, just pray for you. Just get an opportunity to just see what you think about the message and just the ministry of PKN. So give us a call this evening. We'd love to talk to you. I am so excited. I am so excited. Like, I'm overly excited to be with you guys and just to talk with you. But before I get into the message, which I am so crazy, super hyped about, I want to share this with you. And I need y'all to write this down because I think this is so important. I need everybody who is listening to take this scripture down. And this scripture is Philippians 3:14-17. I'm going to say it again. That is Philippians 3:14-17. And I know that everybody's familiar with the first verse. The first verse was verse 14. And it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Everybody knows that scripture. Everybody's familiar with that verse. And we should press on toward the mark of the high calling. So guess what? The next verse says, let us therefore as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So what he's saying is, hey, you know, be like-minded with each other. And if somebody isn't on the same course, if we're not like-minded, God will reveal it to us. And then the next verse, it says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Listen to what this scripture is saying. I find it so cool. So it says, hey, press for the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And then it says, hey, brethren, press, but be like-minded when you press. And then it goes on and saying, if somebody is not like-minded, if somebody doesn't have the same goal or the same vision or the same mindset as you, he said, hey, God will reveal it to you. And when he reveals it to you, hey, let's get it together. Let's walk together. So guess what the bottom line of this scripture is? If we are going to press toward the mark to the prize of this high calling in Christ Jesus, the only way we're going to do it is if we do it together. We are one body in Christ. We walk together. We talk together. We may not have the same way of walking. We may not have the same concepts of ministry, But we know when we walk together knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ died for our sins and he rose for our sins. And we all have a specific purpose, and that is sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we can walk together in that like-minded spirit, could you imagine we can change the world? Why? Because we press together. Somebody right now is trying to figure out, hey, what do I do? How do I complete this impossible task or so-called seeming impossible task that God has put on our lives? And how can I press on? And it seems so lonely, and I'm trying to figure out what to do. I don't have all the pieces, and I don't have all the parts. And the reality is, we were never meant to press alone. We were always meant to press with each other. So I just want to just put that in your hearts. Once again, that scripture is Philippians 3:14-17. I just want y'all to dig deep and just, you know, find that and put that word in you. And understand, you don't have to do those things alone. You don't have to be by yourself. And I just want you to understand that just because you're pressing, you don't have to press alone. Now, I can get into my topic. I'm super excited about this topic because my pastor, Pastor John Clark Sr., he preached a powerful sermon this Sabbath. And while he was preaching, he mentioned a particular chapter in the Bible. And he mentioned this chapter, and he thought I was going to just pick it up. You know, I guess he just mentioned it and kept moving. And I heard it. So when I heard it, I said, you know, I got to jump on this. I got to see what this is all about. I got to see what he's talking about. And I read it for myself. Then I read it again. Then I read it again. And I said, man, this is what the world is looking for. You know, the Bible says we perish from a lack of understanding. But guess what the next scripture says after that? We don't perish from a lack of understanding because we just don't know. We perish because we don't want to know. I'm telling you right now, every answer to your life now, to past lives before, because the world will tell you this huge lie. The world will tell you that this old ancient book can't give you answers for this generation. That is not true. That is a lie, and that's what the devil tries to use to make you think that what God taught back then is obsolete now. But no, his word is still true. His word is still working. And I want to share something else with you guys. Because as people who believe in Christ, people who share the word of God, because we all should be sharing the word of God. We all should be showing someone the word of God. And let me say this to you. I'm going to say this to everybody who's listening. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus, and you recognize that he is your Savior, and you consider yourself saved, all of us, minister, preacher, prophet, evangelist, apostle, lay member, all of us are challenged to the same task, and that is spreading the good news, the message of Jesus Christ. And guess what? When you're not spreading the good news, when you're not telling people about Jesus, you're coveted. I know that sounds crazy. It's like, how can I covet? Well, you're keeping something from your neighbor that they have a right to, that they have access to. And when you decide to hog it all for yourself and keep it to yourself, and you're not sharing it with someone, you're breaking the law. The word is supposed to be shared. And it's not hard. It is so not hard. And I want to tell you something, too. Because I want to read the scripture, and this is going to be my starting point. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. And it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. It's what, y'all, God told us, hey, we have to give an account. We have to be ready at all times to let somebody know, why do we believe what we believe? And why do we have the hope in what we believe? This is an obligation to all believers. Hey, be ready to give an account for your hope. Why do you believe what you believe? Why are you going to church? Why are you evangelizing and telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ? Why do you decide to have this faith-based culture and pray to this God and believe in Jesus Christ dying on a cross and believing in a virgin birth? Why do you do all these things? What's the point? What's the purpose? What's the reason? And you have to be able to give an answer for that. And here's what's stopping us from progressing. We're not prepared to give an answer. And then there's those who should be prepared. And instead of giving an answer, they've religiousized a lifestyle and haven't given people the answer but given them a culture. When we throw a religious idea over a Christian answer without giving a biblical definition, you now have conformed people to religion in that relationship. I know I just used a whole lot of big words and we just jumbled a whole bunch of things up. What I'm saying is that if we don't give people the right answers, we're giving them religion and not relationship. And we have to be careful that when we tell somebody about God, when we give people the answer for our hope, let us be prepared with the word. Not your ideas, not your emotions, because your emotions, the Bible says, the heart of a man is wicked in all his ways. Who we do not know. You don't even know your own heart. So how can I tell somebody what I feel and not let them know what the word says? I can share my experiences, but my opinion, leave your opinion at home and give them the word. Because your opinion could lose someone. There are people who believe there shouldn't be women preachers. That's an opinion. That's not the word. And if I go back and forth and I show you in the word what God says about this woman in the last day, he said the woman will prophesy. Your young men and your young women will dream dreams. How dare you hold back the dreamer, hold back the prophet of this generation? Wait a minute, I'm not even supposed to go there, but what I'm trying to tell you is that if you're not careful, your opinion will turn into a religious attack on someone's relationship. Because we're supposed to be someone's answer to hope, not their bondage. Let me get into this lesson. I need y'all to turn to Psalm 73. That is Psalm 73. I know that if you're on the phone with me, you may not have your Bible. But what I hope is that somebody has a Bible app on their phone, and they can just download the app, and they can look at all these scriptures, and they can screenshot them or share or even download them to their phones And if you are not that person who does all that technology stuff on your phone, you can simply just write them down, write the scriptures down, and go to your Bible later and just check them out. But I need you to go to Psalms 73. And the reason why I want to talk about Psalms 73 is because there is an age-old question. And I believe God has finally revealed, because a lot of people use so many other answers and they sound good within that scripture. And even though they sound wonderful and they have purpose and they make sense, I want to prepare people with scripture references instead of their own ideas or opinions, because we can get tricked and we can get lost in our own ideas. But Psalm 73 answers one specific question. Why is it that those who are not following the will of God look so much better than those who are? This question, I mean, everybody asks this question. Why is it that when I was in the world, I was fine, but as soon as I decided to get saved, now here comes the persecution. Here comes all the different challenges and struggles. Why wasn't I struggling when I was with the world? I'm going to answer that question, and I'm going to use scripture to answer that question, and I just want you to see how God just uses his word to this point. This is 2019, and God is still using his word now. And it's so relative, it is so instinctual, and it makes perfect sense. Psalm 73, let's go. And it says, truly, God is good to Israel, even the such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Let's stop right there. This is a lot to take in, but let's stop right there. And it says, truly, God is good to Israel, even those who have a clean heart. And it goes then to say that he stumbled and slipped. The actual term was, it almost felt like I don't have feet because I'm always slipping. And this is David talking, by the way. He wrote the book of Psalms. And verse 2 says, look, it almost felt like I don't have feet because I'm always slipping. And I know that's a modern way of saying it, and I'm quite sure that if I were to talk to someone and they would say, you know what, man, you know, I'm trying to live right, I'm trying to do things right, they seem like I'm always making mistakes. But then verse 3, he says, I was envious of the foolish because when I saw them, I saw wicked people prospering. Guess what? This was over 2,000 years ago. This was over 4,000 years ago. And David is saying the exact same thing that a lot of people say today. I'm struggling to be saved. I'm struggling to be a good Christian. I'm struggling to get it right. Why is it that I'm struggling to do the right thing, but the people out here doing the wrong thing who are living wicked lives, they're prospering? It's the foolish to prosper. Let's go. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. He said they don't get sick. They're not dying fast. They look strong and healthy. He said their pride, they wear their pride, meaning they boast about the things that they do. And they wear it. They present their pride and their ego and almost like they were violent about it. But yet, they're prospering. I'm quite sure that a lot of us at some point of our lives have looked at other people and said, I'm doing the right thing, and they're not. Why are they getting what I should have? Why are they gaining? Why are they prospering? What's going on? What am I doing wrong? And it gets like that. Sometimes you say, well, what am I doing wrong? Why am I not in that position? Why am I not being promoted or elevated? I'm doing the right thing. What's going on? Why are they who aren't even following the rules, who aren't even doing the right thing, why are they not, you know, struggling like I am? And then the next verse in 7 says, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They sit their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. In other words, they're constantly growing. They put people who are oppressed down. They boast. God, they speak against the heavens. They speak against God. You know people right now who are wealthy, who are prospering, who are doing great. And they don't even believe in God. They don't even believe in God. They don't share the ideas of God the way we do. They don't believe that Jesus Christ died for themselves. They don't believe in the one true God, the Trinity. They have no clue what that is. And yet, and still, they're prospering, and some of us are struggling. And they walk through the earth, and they boast about their accomplishments separate from God. Verse 10 says, therefore his people return hither, and waters of full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know, and is their knowledge in the Most High? Once again, they're bragging, they're boasting, and their cup is full. Their cup is full. And their cup is so full that they're sharing it, because when they say wringing out the waters, meaning they're allowing what they have to be shared with other people. They're sharing their wealth. They're sharing all these things. And they say, hey, you know, God ain't give me this. God ain't show me how to get this. And in fact, is there really a God? Because if I got this on my own, what do I need God for? There are people out there. We know people like this. We have a government like this. We have you know, groups and social groups set up like this, and networks set up like this, and their idea isn't about God. Their mind isn't of God. Remember, we said we were going to press together when we read Philippians. So they're not the same mind. They don't have the same mind that we have. And they say, hey, does God have knowledge? God didn't give me this. And then we get down to verse 12, and it says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in intimacy. That word means anger, frustration, So there are believers, there are people of God there who have seen the prosperity of the wicked. They have seen the struggle of the righteous, but they've seen the growth of those who are wicked, and they say, maybe I'm in the wrong place. And I'm quite sure there's somebody right now who said, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. Because before I signed the contract, before I made the declaration to serve Jesus Christ, I was cool. I was okay. But now I changed my life and I changed my lifestyle. I'm struggling worse than when I was in the world. And the scripture said, hey, you know, some of us see this and maybe we feel like we need to wash our hands of this and go back. But let's see what David says. Let's see how David goes. And he says in verse 14, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I shall offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Even when I'm trying to do the right thing and I'm talking about God, it seems like the generation that I'm in doesn't want to hear it. If anything, they find offense to what I'm talking about. There are certain communities right now. I just want to show you how the Bible is so relatable. Don't you know that there are certain communities, there are certain organizations, there are certain groups in this generation right now that if you start preaching the truth about Jesus Christ and what God says in his word, they're offended. Like, I just want you to understand that the word is so relative, whether it's 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, or now, the word is so relative. It comes right back to where you are. And David says, yo, even when I try to speak to that generation, they try to say that, you know, it was offensive to them. I want you to understand that, and I'm throwing this in because it's so important, that in the state of California, I just want to show this to you, and it's unfortunate because in the state of California, they are changing this bill. They're doing a bill where the LGBTQ community, I know I messed up, but the LGBTQ community has forced a government contract that says that the churches in California have to, not only have to, but it's not an official have to, but it is a what's the word I'm looking for? It's not something that you have to do, but it should be acknowledged and it should be done. So they're not saying you have to do this, but they're saying you should. And it's a government mandate. So when things start being a government situation and they start saying, hey, we're not telling you that you have to do it, but we're saying that you should. And what they're saying is that this community should be implemented in the church, and they should have positions within the church. They should have dignitary positions within the church, and they should be welcomed in every part of the Christian church. Let me say this right now. I believe that all are welcome in the house of God. I believe that everyone, I don't care who you are, what you are, everyone should be welcomed in the house of God. There is no person who should be turned down from being in the house of the Lord. But I do believe that if you're going to carry the mantle of ministry, then your life should be a life that makes sure you try your best to line up to the way God has called us to live. I'm not saying that you don't have a struggle. What I'm saying is there's a struggle, there's a difference between a struggle and acceptance. If you accept a lifestyle that is not conducive, that is not in line with the way God has called his people to be, you are not walking in a position to share the gospel with others. You have just tainted the word. But if you are struggling with something, the Bible says that we should counsel, that we should confess our faults one to another, that we should be able to get with our brother and sister, and we should try to work on ourselves. And if you have something that you're dealing with and you're trying to take steps to correct it, I commend you. But when you decide this is who I am and this is what I'm going to be and it is what it is and you're not making changes, and we're not just talking about one specific group, we're talking about the entire 9 yards, whatever it is. If you're not making changes and you just accept what it is, what you have done is you have conformed to sin. And the Bible tells us, don't conform to this world, but be ye transferred by the word of God. If you're not transformed, you're conforming. If you are not transforming constantly, if you're not transforming, you're conforming. Let's keep going to the word. I think that I got my point across with that. But it says in verse, we're going to go to verse 16 again. It says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful. It is too painful for me. And so I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terror? What God is saying, what David is saying in the scriptures, he said, hey, I was so frustrated and I was so overwhelmed. And he said, then I went to the sanctuary and then I got it, then I understood. He says, God has put them in a slippery place. A slippery place that's going to cast down destruction and is going to consume them with terror. What is that slippery place? Just because it looks good now does not mean it's going to be good later. The Bible tells us after sin comes death. And what God did at that time, he said, okay, yeah. If you take your reward now, you have to deal with the consequences later. So David said, hey, I was frustrated. And then I went to the sanctuary, and God just showed me. God made me understand. He said, look, those things are temporary. Those moments are temporary. Let's go on. Let's see what he says next. He says, how are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awaketh. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Once again, I want to show you this. It says, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Doesn't that sound like, depart from me, I never knew you? The word knew in the Greek meant relationship. So depart from me, I never had a relationship with you. Or in this case, David says, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. God doesn't even want to see them. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee that has holden me by the right hand. He says, I was foolish. I was the ignorant one because I was looking on the outside. I was looking at what was going on right now. And I clearly wasn't looking at the fact that despite all these things going on, you had my hand. I was slipping because I love the way David said, I was slipping so much, I felt like I didn't have no feet. I'm going to have to use that on somebody. He's like, I was slipping so much, it felt like I didn't have any feet. And he says, despite my slips, you still had my hand. They might have riches, they might have prestige, they might have everything right now, but I got your hand, you got my hand. And David said, I'll take you having my hand over their things any day. And we continue, and it says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. I love when he said this. He said, well, I don't even want those things. All I want is you. He said, my desire is heaven. I love the way that after God revealed to David that those were temporary things, David said, wait, why am I so focused on the temporary when I was promised eternity? He says, forget those things. God, I want you. My desire is you. And I think that the only way, matter of fact, the only way we are going to not focus on what the world is doing now and focus on God having our right hand and our destiny in heaven is if we change our desires. Guys, we have to change our desires. Are our desires heavenly or are they temporary? What are we going to do? How are we going to change our desires? Because he says in verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee, all them that chase things that aren't God, all those that have decided to live a lifestyle and glorify a lifestyle that is not of God. All those who rather have temporary things than have the blood of the Lamb, Christ Jesus, God says, you're going to perish. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. It is good that I draw near to God. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I've seen so many things, and I've seen people have so much, and what I've grown to realize is that God has given me so much. God has given me a lot, and God has blessed me with a lot, and sometimes I have to take in consideration how blessed I am. And let me tell you something, what I've learned is that God has blessed me, and sometimes if I'm not careful about how God has blessed me, I can be a hindrance and not a help. If I express what God has blessed me with and I'm not doing it in a proper way, I can be someone's hindrance and not their help. But I love that David said, he said, look, I get it. You know, y'all see what's on the outside, but I'm more focused on my future. And not only am I focused on my future, I recognize what God is doing now because I'm declaring all thy works. Let me not get so wrapped up in what I don't have and what I don't see and how I'm not doing, and let me recognize what God is doing in my life. Because if we really sat down, if we really had a chance to see what God is doing right now in our everyday lives, we'll have a lot to talk about. Well, if I could sit here and just say, hey, what God has done for me, how God has blessed me, how God has made miracles come into my life, and I'm just so excited to share and tell somebody what God is doing in my life and what he's done. You know, he took some kid who, you know, who wasn't supposed to be in this position, who was, you know, on the other side of God's will, who knew God but still desired to do his own thing. And one day God just had to take me and put me in a position where I had to say yes. And there were times when, I'm going to be honest with you, I wasn't proud that I was in those positions where I had to say yes, but I realized that all things work together. Even my bad moments work together. It was for my good. So there are some of us who may be down on ourselves for having to just be in a bad position. Let me tell you something. Those moments when you're slipping, God still got your hand. Those moments where you know, like David said, it feels like I don't have no feet. He's still holding your hand. Don't get so overwhelmed that you don't know who's holding your hand. Don't get so lost in what's going on that you forget that God is right there with you. And that he desires you, but you gotta desire him the same way he desires you. Right now, there's somebody listening. There's somebody listening on the line, and maybe you desire God. Maybe you desire to have a relationship with God, and you desire Jesus Christ, and you're saying to yourself, "But I'm slipping. I'm messing up. I'm not in the right place. I'm not in the right position. I need help, or I need to get myself together." And let me tell you, some people make this huge mistake, and they make this big mistake, and they try to say, "Well, before I come to God, I need to get myself right." Guess what, y'all? You can't get right until you come to God. What's the point in even coming to God if you think you won't get it all together?
If you could do it, you wouldn't need God. So don't believe that hype. Don't fall for that trap that you gotta clean yourself up and then get God. That's unrealistic. It's not real. But you can come to him just as you are. Weak, burdened, stressed out, tired, still struggling with that same sin. Not even struggling with them, still sinning. You can come to God just as you are. And when you come to him with an understanding that I need to make some changes. But I know that the only way I can make these changes is with you, because there's so many people who've tried it on their own. They've tried to, you know, make changes in their lives, and they've tried to be better and get better and be different. You know, the world want to tell you about this holistic lifestyle in the universe, and you know, they want to deal with astrology and numbers. And I can tell you something, all of this sounds good until you back at square one again. And I'm going to tell you the only remedy for your ailment is Jesus Christ. So right now, if you're hearing this word and you feel like you are stuck in a position and you really don't know what to do, you want to receive Christ. Maybe you don't know how. No, maybe. Nobody never asked you. But right now, if you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, there's a few things you got to do. Nothing big, just a few simple things you got to do. First, you have to recognize that you're a sinner. Then you have to, you know, acknowledge that Jesus Christ died and rose for your sins. And you have to ask him to come into your heart so that he can be Lord of your life. And if you have done that, hey, guess what? You're part of the family. Welcome to the family. Now, some of you, it may be this huge emotional experience. It may be this big moment, and you may be, you know, have an emotional experience or a holy experience. You may have an experience with God right now. And there are some of you who may not feel nothing at all. If you may not have this huge, you know, emotional experience at all, and it's okay. Guess what? Salvation is a declaration first. So once you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and he rose again, the same invitation, the same proclamation applies. You're part of the family. And the coolest part is that the Bible says that when one person gets saved, heaven rejoices. Or I like to say, heaven throws a party. When the one person can see, heaven throws a party. The entire heaven throws a party. God is celebrating only this one soul. He's celebrating because you decided to have a relationship with him. And I just want to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for that soul that has decided to come to you. That soul that has decided to take on the mantle and understand that she is nothing without you, that she is nothing without you, that there's something missing, and that something missing is you. God, thank you that you have sent your Holy Ghost to be a deliverer, to be a healer, to be a guide, to be a teacher, and to be a comforter. God, I thank you because someone decided to have a relationship with you. Someone decided to live a life with you holding their hand, even though they're stumbling. God, you constantly remind them that you're holding their hand, even when they feel like they don't have any feet. You're with them. And that even though things look crazy right now and they look bad right now, you have prepared a place for them. And what they see everyone getting now is nothing, nothing compared to what you have for them. God, I thank you. Thank you for those souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I thank you guys for listening. Right now, we are going to have our brother Rob. He's going to come and he's going to get the announcement real quick, and then I'll be back with you on the line.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Reverend Burgess. I don't know about real quick, but I'll give the announcements. This is a part of Purpose Kingdom Network, and we thank you so much. This is the 1008th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank you so much. And if you're listening to us online, we thank you so much. And if you want to call in and comment on our show before we end the show, the phone number to call in is 319-527-6091. If you have complications with that number, we also have an alternate number to call in. That alternate number to call in is 323-870-4174. And as always, just hit the number one, and we'll get you on as quickly as we can. We thank you so much. If you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that, and we thank you so much. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. And we thank you so much for supporting us, no matter where you are in the world, whether on your phone or online. We thank you so much. Here at Purpose Kingdom Network, we broadcast almost every night that we're able to broadcast. And we hope you join us with God's will and God's blessing at the 9 p.m. hour tomorrow evening. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour. And we gladly wish to celebrate our rejoicing in the Lord. And we thank Reverend Burgess for bringing and revealing us some of the hidden words that we tend to overlook in the Bible. And we thank him so much for doing this. So, and Reverend Burgess, are you there?
All right. I'm right here.
All right. All right. Show's back in your hands. We thank you so much for tonight's broadcast.
All right. Thank you, Brother Rob, for those announcements. Really appreciate them. I want to, before we end this show, invite everyone. I don't know if anyone has had an experience with God's feast days, but if you have and if you haven't, I just want to give you guys an invitation. This Sunday is the Feast of Atonement. It is also known as Yom Kippur. It is one of God's holy feast days. And my church, Verity Outreach Worship Center, we are celebrating. And we are celebrating God's holy days. And it is the Feast of Atonement. And I have not begun to teach the Feast of Atonement. I normally do the feast every year, but I haven't yet got into the Feast of Atonement because if we understand the Feast of Atonement, we have to understand the cost to be atoned for. And I just want to let you guys know that we all were bought with a price. And that atonement cost, that atonement was Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sin. So when we ask God for forgiveness, when we ask God to come into our hearts and cleanse us, and when we ask him to, you know, give us the grace, the strength to overcome sin, that is atonement. So if I could give it to you in a very simple way, this Sunday evening at 7 p.m. at Visions of Missions Church, and that is 2319 North Elizabeth Street, 2319 North 11th Street, if I could give you in a very short time what it means to celebrate the Feast of Atonement, it is we are celebrating the cost of Jesus Christ dying for our sins and being our ultimate sacrifice. We are celebrating Jesus atoning for our sins. And I don't know about you, but I think that's a reason to celebrate. A lot of people try to make these feast days sound so deep. And they can be pretty deep. They are. They're very deep. But if I could give them to you in a short amount of time, we're celebrating Jesus Christ atone, being the ultimate sacrifice and giving us access to atone for our sin. And that's a reason to celebrate. Come out with us. It is Sunday at 7 p.m. And that is Visions of Mission Church, that is 2319 North 11th Street, and I will be bringing the word that evening, and I hope to see you there. If there are anything else, if Pastor Tori, if he has anything to say, if not, I am going to end the show, and I really hope that God has just shine a little light on you today. Just put a little word in your heart that the word of God came and God spoke to you in a certain way. You know, we get so overwhelmed with what's going on in this world that we're not understanding that God is doing something great with us already. So right now, let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for just holding our hands. Behold in our hands. God, you be with us throughout this week. You carry us throughout our days. Protect us, guide us, enlighten us, inform us. But God, you begin to increase our knowledge, increase our space. God, show us what you have called us to do in these last days. Let us be a voice in this generation where everybody's offended by what we have to say. But God, you called us to press on to the mark of the high calling. So guess what, God? You also taught us that we can't press by ourselves. Surround us with people who are pressing just like us. Give us friends and family who are encouraging us to keep moving, to keep going. Because sometimes we need that. We need a voice that says, you've got this, keep going. So God, I pray for the encouraging ear and the encouraging voice of believers in our lives right now. God, you minister to us, you talk to us as we go through this week. And keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the healing hour. I love the time that we have with you today. God bless you. And I'll see you again soon.
Jesus bless. He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. set me free. I will not lose. Never wanna see me down. I will not lose. Save me.